Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
And good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. And we join with the TBC Radio Network, with our sister stations, Vibe City 105 FM, Cengage 161 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM, as we present to you the Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safia Mohammed. Along the way, your questions via our hotline number 627-3223-625-2257 and on WhatsApp 306-1065. Dr. Safia Mohammed, your Lunchtime Doctor, is ready and available to assist you. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Govind. Good afternoon to all of our listeners joined in here. This is your medical program to answer your concerns. Let's navigate those challenges. Let's start to week on the right step. Let's make sure we're having those healthy habits. And the knowledge you gain here on this program, I want you to share it. I want you to empower someone else on their health journey. And that life that you're saving could not only be yours, but that of a loved one. So this is your Lunchtime Doctor, your resident physician, Dr. Safia Mohammed, here to answer your questions.
Let's go straight away to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I don't have a medical problem. I have a question. I'm visually impaired, and I'm asking the question, how long does one must wait for the NIS document from the records department at Mount Hope Hospital? They told me 14 working days. If you go on a daily basis and find a disabled person, it's just one or two. I went on Friday and said the document hasn't been ready and they don't know when.
Okay.
I have to file my NIS because that is what I depend on.
Sure.
It is disheartening to see what is going on when you go there.
Okay.
You can't disregard. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for your
I'm so sorry that is the experience you're having. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I empathize. I'm not in the public healthcare system, but I did take some notes and I will try to do a reach out. Unfortunately, I don't work in the health records department. I don't even work in Ministry of Health. But I'll tell you something. I do know persons from Ministry of Health tune into this program, and I'm certain someone listened, but I took some notes and I will certainly see what I can do. I do hope your situation is resolved.
Of course, reminding you could give us your call 627-3223-625-2257 and your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065 to speak right here with Dr. Safia Mohammed. And for listeners on the other frequencies, you could also send us your messages there and they will definitely forward them to us as well. And Dr. Mohammed, I know that we also had a number of holidays coming up and so on and so forth. Are there any particular health concerns when it comes to those long weekends? Because I know a lot of people use those holidays and so on to sleep in. Are there any difficulties that people can get due to disruptions of their usual sleep cycle and so on?
That's a great question. The converse is one that I do know. Persons use these long weekends to get a little more active. They may involve themselves in a 5K. Now, let's talk about our sleep cycle. We must have a positive approach to sleep because sometimes people try to accumulate sleep, sleep debt. So during the week, they may not get much sleep and then they try to make up for it on the weekend. Yes, that is worsening your health circumstance when you're not ensuring there's that balance. And yes, balance is so important in trying to not just get the numbers of hours in, but more so quality of sleep. We also want to really ensure that when one is getting that very important rest time, that downtime, that you don't then eat poorly. What happens? One may skip a breakfast, skip a lunch, and then have a very, very heavy dinner. And that worsens the system. Let's say you're diabetic. You're putting an increased glycemic load just at dinner time. So keep in mind, on the long weekends, let's use that to resuscitate our health habits. They are so, you know what, something that I really love, Govin, is that you're seeing so many different health retreats. You're seeing so many different 5Ks all across Trinidad, so many different hiking groups, and you're seeing all ages involved. I want to extend that call to action to all of my listeners here on radio. Just get involved, even if it means going together as a community to do a little walk in your area. Make sure you're safe, of course, but encourage someone to be more active.
All right, good afternoon, Doc. Basis here. I sort of make sure I have my lunch sometime before I come. That's why I'm sometimes a few minutes late. But welcome, folks. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, 3061065 on the WhatsApp. Doctor, what's your thoughts? A lot of people are talking about the Ministry of Health talking with these fast food chains to make healthier, more healthier options. Is there any such thing as healthy fast food, and what could be done? I know the July, August vacation is coming up. Kids are going to be home. What can parents do to make some healthier meals that kids would love?
So first and foremost, I am always happy when Ministry of Health takes these initiatives forward, but we need to make sure that it's done with the right narrative. Yes, we must achieve that balance. Can it be achieved? I have a young son and I know it's achieved. Yes, he likes fast foods and I am comfortable in saying he knows he likes his fries, etc. Do not have it often. We may have once or twice a month if something. If we're having fries, I always try to reduce the salt component. So I ask them, can it be non-salted? If there's the option for sweet potato fries or cassava fries, I have that instead for him. Or even better, if it's baked. So we can find those healthy substitutes. Let's say a burger. Let's jump straight in. We absolutely don't do the double and triple cheese because we know that's going to add a whole lot of calories. I asked them, and I've gotten him accustomed to having his lettuce, having his tomato slice. And he knows, more importantly, he knows the multivitamins, the parts of the body that is going to help him develop further on. So yes, can we make fast food a little bit healthier? I certainly believe we can. Or how about even offering healthier fast foods? We don't only need to say that, say, a fast food is one that's unhealthy. I know there's been some, not so much in Trinidad, more, I believe it was New York, they had these burgers where they completely removed the buns and they use the lettuce slices as the holder for the burger. So yes, we can be creative. It starts, however, with the messaging. It starts with getting our children accustomed to these habits. It starts at home. So the parents, the teachers, they have a huge role to play as well. But I commend Ministry of Health. I do hope their initiatives continue to yield positive results.
All right, let's get into your questions right now, folks. Hi, Doc. I'm 46-year-old female, recently diagnosed with bilateral venous insufficiency. My feet hurt all the time and I get tired quickly. Can you explain this diagnosis, what it is exactly, and recommend some do's and don'ts?
Definitely. So thank you so much for sharing about venous insufficiency. It is something that many, many Trinidadians experience. And it's kind of along the same lines when we talk about peripheral artery disease or poor circulation. It's essentially when the veins in the lower limbs has a lot of trouble sending or returning the blood that circulates in the veins back into the circulatory system towards the heart. So keep in mind, your entire circulatory system is made up of your arteries, your veins, and your capillaries that connect everything. Within the veins now, there are these valves. And if the valves themselves, that allows the flow of the blood in a particular direction, if those valves are compromised, that's when you can have this thing called venous insufficiency. So it's one of those diagnoses that we want to make sure for any patient. One, we make sure their cholesterol levels are low, so there isn't any cholesterol deposition within the veins themselves. We also want to make sure that the valves aren't weakened or damaged, or if they are, we tend to give the patient that support. So you may need to wear those compression socks if you're standing for long times. The compression socks just basically helps defy the gravity, the flow of gravity. So it allows the blood to flow back from the veins to the heart. We also want to ensure that if you're standing or sitting for long periods of time, that is a no-no. You want to try to either, and we talk about this often, doing the little exercises at your ankles. So you, if you're sitting, you're literally doing, say, like counterclockwise, clockwise, mashing the brakes, pulling up the handbrakes at your ankles. So imagine doing these circulatory exercises at your ankles. There's also medications to help treat venous insufficiency. And at the nighttime, you also want to ensure that you keep the feet elevated. Now, here's a very, very important red flag that we see with our patients with venous insufficiency. That swelling, that pooling of the fluid can lead to now either varicose veins. It can lead to hardening or thickening of the veins. There can be cholesterol deposition. There can even be ulceration. So please do a daily check on the legs, daily check on the feet, proper feet hygiene. Take care of any wounds, any ulcers. And of course, make sure you are in the whatever medications that's prescribed, if it is the diuretic, if it's your blood pressure medications, your cholesterol lowering medications, make sure you stay consistent. Is it treatable? Very, very treatable. These self-care steps that we mentioned are so important. Taking care of your feet, managing your medications, and preventing the chronic venous insufficiency. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM, 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's go to our WhatsApp. Hi, good day, Doctor. I have sickle cell disease, and I do drink a lot, but I am always thirsty. I feel dehydrated all the time, and I cannot walk without feeling short of breath. I am 42 years old.
So dehydration is one of the commonest features, commonest signs and symptoms that our sickle cell patients experience. Yes, I know you said you may be drinking and well hydrated. With our sickle cell patients, we actually encourage double the amount of hydration. That's simply because what the condition of sickle cells is, as in when the red blood cells clump together, they can actually worsen your crisis, worsen your dehydration. So it's so important that not just staying hydrated, but maintaining the entire, like, not if you're overly fatigued, if you're overly weak, maintaining the body's hydration. What I would want to suggest to any patient who has sickle cell is to also know the signs that may lead to a crisis. There's some patients that may end up very quickly from being dehydrated to now needing IV fluids in the hospital. And so this is why with our sickle cell patients, we actually double the amount of fluids that's recommended. So yes, they feel dehydrated quite often. Let's kind of review quickly the signs of some of this dehydration. You may feel not just a dry mouth and tongue, but you may feel easily fatigued or weaker. You may also see the urine color when you're passing urine. Even though you're hydrating yourself, your urine color is very dark. It may even have an odor. Or you may, as you the caller mentioned, feel that extreme levels of thirst. So please ensure you stay hydrated. Keep in mind, alcohol will worsen your dehydration. So if you can, stay away from alcohol. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doc, I do have children, and like you, they like fries. Do you recommend an air fryer?
Most definitely. And yes, that's one of the mechanisms as well, that when I have to prepare the fries for him, that we utilize the air fryer. In fact, you're reducing the oil component in the air fryer almost, I think, by 50% using the air fryer. Good question, caller.
All right. Hi, Doc. I have a pacemaker. Recently, I'm feeling very weak and very tired. Am I sick? I'm a 76-year-old female.
So once you have a pacemaker in, if you're experiencing these new symptoms, then please get it checked out. We would not want that there to be any sort of complication with this pacemaker. The other thing we'd want to make sure is, in addition to the pacemaker, the other medications you're taking is indeed well optimized. Sometimes as the body gets older, we need to either change the medications, review, and I do hope that the last time you saw a doctor is not too long ago. What we've seen is that because of COVID, a lot of patients didn't get to see their doctors. So now is a good time to reschedule a visit, just to be proactive. But in your case, feeling these signs of feeling weak and just not your usual self, that's enough reason to go schedule a visit to your healthcare professional.
All right, folks, 627-2257 and 627-3223. We take in your calls. Of course, this is the lunchtime doctor. Ask all your medical questions as well as on the WhatsApp 3061065, and feel free to message our other frequencies and they will forward your messages right to us. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome.
Good afternoon to the panel. Doctor, I am 78 years of age, diabetic, hypertension, had a little heart attack and son a couple of years ago. What I observed for the past 2 weeks, that when I urinate, it is yellow. If my stool is yellow, I wonder if this is something I have to worry about. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So in this case, at 78 years, if you're seeing, here's what we look at. If there's a change in the color of the urine or the stool, yes, that's something we want to double check. If it's something that's persisting, so if there's a change in the color and you're seeing it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, then please get it checked out, especially when it comes to both urine and stool. I'll also want to make sure that there isn't any blood there, and I want to make sure that your nutrition is all up to mark. When you do make that appointment to your healthcare professional, you know what the medications are, so you can let them know just in case they need to adjust anything. What I would also suggest is take your blood pressure. Let's have an idea of what your blood pressure reading values are and your sugar, the diascan values. But keeping in mind any other changes that you notice in your health, please bring it forward. And I'm so glad that our first caller for the program is male, because this month, June, is actually Men's Health Awareness Month. Soon we'll be celebrating Father's Day. And I want to make sure all of our male listeners, well, all of our listeners, take care of their health. But specifically, our male listeners, we know, you say I see 50 patients in a day, 40 of them might be female, and just about 10 might be males, because we know our male population has a huge hesitancy to seeing the doctor. So thank you, caller, for calling in. Please take that next step. And during the course of this month, we're going to talk a lot about male health.
And of course, this might be a good time. The color of your urine and your stool, it could tell you something about your health. And if so, what is the right color for it to be? Sometimes it's light, it's dark, especially your urine and stuff.
So let's talk about those colors. The color of the urine should be pale yellow. And one may say, well, pale yellow could be all different shades. So you don't, it isn't necessarily a concentrated or a deep yellow. And it's not necessarily a clear white, as in clear like water. If it's clear like water, that's not bad at all. Your hydration status is excellent. So there is, because the proteins that come through does give the coloration of the urine. So that pale yellow. color of the stool as well. So there's not only the color of the stool, it's consistency as well. Tends to be, and we've discussed this one, is actually brown. If you're noticing a dark black tarry stool, yes, that's blood in your stool. If the color of the stool goes lighter, like gray color, that could be gallstones and different changes within the liver and the metabolic function. So yes, the color of the urine and the color of the stool gives us a lot of reasons to know if the health of the body is functional or non-functional.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello and good afternoon, Doc. What I would like to know, I have a relative, last year they did a stent, right? And September coming to make them a year. And, you know, after 6 months, they're going back to the same old lifestyle. Plenty salt, bacon, macaroni pie, and oily stuff as usual. I would like to know, by they having the stent, how long will it take for it to collapse again? Have a good day.
Well, thank you so much for being this concerned. This is something we see in all of our population, and it really bothers my soul. So having had any sort of cardiovascular condition, so I believe I heard you said stem or stent, once there's a stent in there, lifestyle must be changed for till the end, not just 3 months, not 6 months, not just 1 year. We want to make those adjustments in our lifestyle on a daily basis. So you're very correct. The high amount of greasy, oily foods, macaroni pie, a little bit in moderation is okay, but it cannot be a weekly or a daily event, because that certainly would be way too much on their cardiovascular system. To whoever it is that had the stent, let's just, a stent mean there was a block in the main arteries of the heart. That block may have been from a cholesterol blocker. Foods like with high unsaturated fats, they're going to increase your cholesterol and worsen that block. Once there's a stent in, the stent holds the artery open, but if you're increasing your cholesterol deposition, it can come now and deposit on the stent, and you can have another blockage. Any blockage in the arteries of the heart will lead to a heart attack. Any heart attack compromises the function of the heart. And when I say compromise, what the heart is a muscle. So any part of the heart that is now compromised, it becomes damaged. And fixing or repairing that part of the heart is difficult. Once there's a heart attack, return to normal or full percentage ejection fraction can be challenging. So why must we put ourselves through that distress when we can be proactive? Balance the foods that you're eating. No one is saying completely stay away from salt. Of course, if my patients require that, I certainly would advise it. But balance it. Reduce your salt. So thank you, caller, for calling in. Please let them know. Dr. Saf asked, begged that they watch their salt intake, they watch their cholesterol intake, because chances of a repeat heart attack is very high. Hope that answers your question.
All right, doctor, can you explain the difference between prebiotics and probiotics?
Most definitely. Now, both of them help and support the gut. The difference with the prebiotics in versus the postbiotics, essentially, both are compounds that help foster the growth of these microorganisms. Most persons may then ask, when do we take either the prebiotic or the postbiotic? What we would want persons to do is first and foremost have a conversation with your healthcare professional. The probiotics tend to be actual living strains. And when I say living strains, they tend to be actual living strains of bacteria, and they can now repopulate that bacteria within the digestive system. So that's a probiotic. The prebiotic now tends to be more fiber-based. So they're not necessarily a bacteria. They're more like the food for the bacteria. So the prebiotic tends to be a fiber base that can now help the bacteria grow. It either stimulates the growth of your pre-existing good bacteria or it could also stimulate the growth of unhealthy bacteria. So your probiotics tend to be the actual living strain of the bacteria. Hope that answers the question.
Dear Doc, should vitamins be taken every day or in between?
As you all know, I'm not a fan of everyday multivitamins. I'm a huge fan of us eating well and making sure our nutrition cover those multivitamins. If, however, there's any deficit in how we eat, let's say if it's an age population, let's say if it's someone who's pregnant, let's say if it's a cancer patient that has extra needs, then certainly in that case, you may need your multivitamins daily. So every situation is a different situation, but if you're eating healthy, then you most certainly won't need it every day. If you do have to take a multivitamin every day, I would certainly suggest like your vitamin Bs. For your diabetic, you definitely want to take your thiamine, because we do know there's that link between the thiamine deficiency and the numbness, the tingling in the feet. And we want to make sure if you're at risk for any sort of respiratory illness, let's just say you are within your frontline worker, you want to optimize your immune system, then vitamin C and, of course, your iron sulfates, all of those things are very useful. Zinc as well is another one of those multivitamins that you can take ever so often, every other day, to help support your immune system. But again, healthy nutrition is what's at the core. Hope that answers the question.
You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, of course, Sankit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and Freedom 106.5. Remember, from the Monday 19th of June to Sunday, June 25th, we have For the Love of Country, our week discussing crime. Of course, 627 right now, 3223, 625-2257, and a lot of WhatsApps coming in, 306-1065. Good day, Doctor. When getting a blood test done at the health center, do you check thyroid functions? And if not, where can I go to get my thyroid checked?
Excellent question. So yes, they can request the thyroid functions, TFTs, to be done. Let them have that conversation. Just have the conversation, let them know. But the typical routine scan of usual blood tests may not include thyroid function. It will typically include your complete blood count and your renal function, and then, of course, a sugar level, your glucose level. It may be a fasting or a random. If indicated, then we may need to take a second red top, and that does the thyroid function. Where is the thyroid function test done? Any private lab across Trinidad and Tobago will do your thyroid function test. So I hope that answers your question.
Good day, Doc. This is the same person with the sickle cell. I got an ulcer on my left leg since 2019, and it heals, but keeps bursting open and it's very painful. I came out of the hospital on Friday and still can't walk on it because of the pain. Any recommendations?
Yes, so we do see those sickle cell ulcers, especially in the limbs. What we want to do is make sure, one, if you're on antibiotics or if there's a topical antibiotic cream, that you continue to use that until the ulcer is healed. We also want to make sure that you're not putting any undue pressure on it. And when I say pressure on it, if you're sitting, if you're driving, you want to ensure that it has enough space to allow the healing process. Please ensure that you're taking your pain medications, because we know pain can send a sickle cell patient into crisis as well. And then we also want to ensure that your footwear is one that's comfortable and not worsening the ulcer. You may need to shift your footwear. You may need to adjust it. You may need to wear even probably more comfortable socks or something like that, or the compression bandage to give that just to give the ulcer the opportunity to heal properly. Stay away from any sort of sometimes the footwear can now tighten or press onto the ulcer. So you want to stay away from poorly fitted footwear. I hope that answers the question.
A good day, a female, 46 years old, experiencing a prickly sensation and numbness on my fingertips. What can cause this? I work in a very cold environment.
So yes, the cold certainly can be one of those predisposing factors. You want to ensure that you are getting that circulation all the way down to the tips of the fingers. At age 46, I want to make sure I rule out diabetes, hypertension. I want to rule out any sort of musculoskeletal injury, especially if you're in an office environment and maybe sitting for long hours. There can be compression injury on the spine. Sometimes small little nerves within the spinal canal can be compressed. I want to encourage you, outside of the working hours, make sure you're getting some sort of exercise, stretching, hyperflexibility, any sort of flexibility exercise to ensure you're engaging the core, engaging the muscles of the back, and of course, making sure we get to the bottom of this tingling. So please, go to your healthcare professional. Let's just start the preliminary investigations. Hope that answers your question.
Good day, a male, 50 years old, experiencing pain and burning sensation on the inner knee. I drive for long hours.
So just the fact that you're driving for long hours is what is triggering off a number of questions. Any sort of pain and compression, pain and discomfort, either the front of the knee or the back of the knee, it may be directly related to the musculoskeletal system. There may be some sort of nerve compression, and that's why you're experiencing this level of pain. One, we not only want it checked out, but we want to make sure that you're not in that seated position for long hours. Even if it means you break up the time frame in terms of driving, step outside of the car, stretch, move the limbs around so they're not kept in that position. Please, this will only worsen if you don't get it checked out. And this is something that we see very often with a lot of patients, a lot of people who do driving or on the road a lot. Keep in mind, dehydration could also lead to that. So make sure you're well hydrated throughout the day. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, good day, Doc. After the removal of my gallbladder, what diet should I be on? Thank you.
I'm glad this question came up because just this weekend we had a patient who had repeat cholecystectomy. So he had repeat gallbladder stones, cholelithiasis, even after having removal of his gallbladder. It's so important that the food that you eat, you stay away from high processed. So anything that is processed, meaning tin foods, stay away from high saturation. So polyunsaturated, you want to stay away from your trans fats, your polyunsaturated. So anything with a high level of cholesterol, those things will just worsen even after you've had gallbladder surgery. What we want to do is encourage you to have a high amount of fiber. We want to encourage you to have as natural foods as possible. You see, once you've removed that gallbladder, some of the things that persons experience is that they may have now gut mobility concerns. They may have diarrhea, they may have vomiting. So you want to ensure you have high fiber. So as we just said, go easy on the fat, increase the fiber, eat smaller, more frequent meals. You see, what that will do, because the gallbladder has already been removed, then the amount of bile produced, the smaller amount of bile will now break up or work on the smaller amount of meals. Here's another thing to try to avoid. Try to reduce caffeine, if possible, because caffeine can worsen the gut dysfunction. So as in, caffeine can worsen the diarrhea, and you also want to minimize the sweet foods that you're having. Hope that answers your questions.
Dear doctor, is there any machine or some medical apparatus to detect a deficiency of nutrition in the human body?
Almost definitely. So we can do certain blood tests. we look at the multivitamin levels. But there isn't the, I do know that some persons propagate and they talk about putting your feet into the water and they check the anions and they check the color of the water that the feet may extract. Those things are misleading. We can do more concretized blood investigations, and that will give you a level of the different level of vitamins in your body.
Dear doc, I have a cough. I would feel like gravel is in my throat. I would start coughing, mucus, and froth would come up. I am a 76-year-old female.
So this sounds very concerning. Any cough that's giving you this discomfort, we certainly not only want to check the respiratory system, but we want to make sure we check the throat, the ear, nose, and throat system. It may be something with the adenoids. It may be something with the lymph nodes in the throat. Or if it's a cough after this long time frame, it may be directly related to allergies. And last but not least, we want to rule out any sort of respiratory infection. Please don't sit for so long with a cough. A cough, if it becomes infected, if the mucus becomes infected, can lead to developing a pneumonia. And I will not want any of our elderly patients developing a pneumonia.
All right, folks, once again, we're taking your medical questions at 627-323-625-2257. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. You are listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Saf, Dr. Safia Mohammed. Of course, it's Men's Health Month. What can we do, Doc? What do you think we could do to get men to, you know, be more concerned about their health? And if there is something, go by the doctor to overcome this fear.
So that exactly is what we need to do. First and foremost, identify it's a fear, and the fear is illogical. Exactly what we're doing here, talking about it, making information more accessible. Our men, we do know they want to take care of their health. Just ensuring that they know what are the checks. To all of our listeners, especially the wives tuned in, you be more familiar with some of the signs. Prostate cancer is one of the more common cancers in our male population. What are the signs and symptoms? Encourage them. We're not going to do any sort of overly excessive talking and what the men like to talk about, which is nagging. Sometimes leaving the say tomorrow when we have the Health Plus edition out in the Guardian, leave it out on the table. Let them read the information themselves. They need a little bit more time to digest. But what I really want our male population to do is to encourage having the conversations. Guess what? When females meet up, they talk about their health. But when males meet up, they certainly don't like to talk about their health because they may think that's a sign of weakness. It's most certainly not a sign of weakness. If the red light goes off in the car, right away you're taking care of your car. If your tire gets flat, right away you're taking care of that tire. So why are we not taking care of our health or be comfortable to talk about our health? In our article tomorrow, we talk about male and their mental health as well and the barriers they face. Do you know our TTPS numbers showed that in the year, well, we don't have 2022 figures, but 2021, that there were something like 86 persons who unfortunately took their life, and 77 of those numbers were male patients. Our male population is not comfortable enough to even talk about their emotional health or their mental health. And I want everyone listening today to let us be our brother's keeper. Over the bar, you can talk about your health. You can encourage your male friends. Ask that question. When is the last time they went to a doctor? When is the last time they get a checkup? You can be saving your friend's life. I hope that answers the question.
All right, we had some calls coming in there. 627-323-625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to ask the doctor a question. Since about the middle of last month, on my right side from my waist go down, there's a numbness. I visit the doctor and they give me medication, but the numbness, like a cramp right through night, and they have been experiencing this. Could she tell me what I can do about it?
So thank you so much for letting us know. I'm glad you did go and get it checked out. Sometimes with that numbness, where there is damage to the nerves, then return of those nerves or return to the proper nerve structure may not happen right away. With the thing about the ends of the nerves, once they're damaged, we may not be able to return the proper functioning. So the medications is a start. We may need to do some level of physiotherapy. We may need to do further level of medication. Some medications can support the nerve structure, but it would be so important that we know what's causing the nerve or that numbness. It may be, as we talked about, well, you said it's not necessarily the feet. This is more the side of the body. So it may be something directly related to the nerves within the spinal canal. Sometimes it may be a pinched nerve. Sometimes it may be a disc that's compromised. So we may need to do one or two more investigations to identify the exact cause of this numbness. Hope that answers your question.
Good day, doctor. I'm having a tingling pain on the left side, just under the breast. 47-year-old female with diabetes and under a lot of stress.
So you said a very key word there. When it comes to stress and diabetes, stress can also directly worsen the diabetic or the glycemic control. And that can lead to something called a neuropathy. One, I want to make sure you adjust your medications. Make sure you're taking your medications and you're consistent. But let's also look at how is the daily stressors affecting your life. And then last but not least, when you do present to the healthcare physician or your health center, you identify exactly where. The thing about diabetic neuropathy, that's one of the complications of diabetes. And it starts first and foremost with managing what we eat, managing our glycemic control, and of course, our daily habits. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good day, Doc. My gallbladder was removed a long time now. My bile duct was blocked, which was cleared, but was never told about my diet. But I do drink coffee a lot. Is that all right?
So we did just talk about that one that has had the gallbladder removed can have gut dysfunction. They may have increased diarrhea, and caffeine is one of those things that can also worsen it. So I would suggest just manage the amount of cups you're having. As we mentioned in the earlier answer, ensure your fiber component is optimized. So yes, you can still have your cup of coffee. I am never one to tell anybody about not having their cup of coffee. As of 12:50, I probably already had three cups. Just manage the intake. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doc. Do males encounter thyroid issues as much as females?
Good question. So yes, females do have, we see more thyroid dysfunction in females than males, but we certainly see thyroid dysfunction in our males as well. What we also see is autoimmune related diseases like Graves' disease in our male population. So please, to our men out there, let's make sure we check our thyroid function as well.
Dear Doc, I'm noticing some quite almost whitish spots on my skin. Look at that on my arm especially. Is that an indication of anything?
So those spots on the skin could be a number of things. One, we'll want to rule out something called vitiligo, which is where the skin itself loses the pigmentation. It could also be a fungal infection, right? We'll want to make sure we rule out any sort of bacterial or fungal infection. And last but not least, even eczema can now lead to this dryness of the skin and a hypopigmentation, which leads to these white spots. Please see your healthcare professional. You may need a referral to a dermatologist, one who is specialized in the area of skin concerns.
All right, good day, Doc. My eyes are constantly running water, and my doctor is not giving me any eye drops. I am 76, although I asked for it.
Well, in this case, certainly you can get a second opinion, because if the eyes are having that runny water kind of feel, then we certainly need to find out what's causing it. Is it a bacterial infection? Is it some sort of increase pressure within the vitreous humor, as in an increased ocular pressure? Once we can identify what's the cause of it, then we can certainly treat it. I don't know the exact cause, so I don't know if the eye drops are indeed what's warranted for it. But I certainly suggest get a second opinion and make sure we get a resolution of those symptoms.
All right, just about 7 more minutes before 1 o'clock. Am I telling us what we can look forward to in our Help Plus tomorrow?
Most definitely. So in tomorrow, CNC 3, just about 7:30, 7:40, you want to tune in to CNC 3 Morning Brew. That's where we'll start the conversation on men's health. This entire month of June is dedicated to our men, and I am advocating for men to step up the game. And when we say step up the game, we want to know, what is your healthy lifestyle habits? How many steps are you clocking in the day? We want to know what are the risky choices that you're making and where we can avoid them. In tomorrow's Health Plus, we're also getting to the heart of the matter. We're going to talk about different heart risk factors. We're touching on erectile dysfunction. We're looking at stress. Here's a fun fact. ED, erectile dysfunction, usually presents about 3 years before a heart attack can present. So if one is having signs of erectile dysfunction, that means they can also have signs of a heart attack. So we treat one, we'll treat the other. An international study that was published recently showed that those who died from heart-related causes or heart attacks also presented with erectile dysfunction. So let's look in. Tune in tomorrow to CNC3 Morning Brew. Get your Guardian in your Check Your Health Plus, because it's very important information that can save your life.
All right, Doc, 7 months ago I had an operation and I found out my finger was squeezed. All right, still numb. Doctor says it will pass. Will it really? The nail was bruised.
So I'll definitely need to have a closer look at that before I can actually give you a definite answer in terms of if it will heal. Yes, we do know issues of trauma that may, where the fingers are squeezed, there can be that complete resolution once there wasn't any damage to the nerve structure, to the venous structure, to the arterial structure. Even if there's a discoloration on the nail, give it some time, it will clear. But if time has passed on and you're not seeing that clearance, please let a healthcare professional make that diagnosis. They'll need to evaluate it, take a look at it, make sure there isn't any fracture, because sometimes a minor, a hairline fracture can restrict healing, especially in those very fragile bones of the fingers. Hope that answers your question.
All right, 3.5 more minutes to go. Doc, I have a relative who is a 69-year-old female diabetic, hypertension, and takes eye injections. She is pee and insulin. She coughs a lot. What can be responsible for that cough?
So several things. One, especially in a patient who is diabetic and hypertensive, I'd want to make sure that the medication itself is not causing the cough. Some of the medications can have a side effect of the cough. Keep in mind, any diabetic patient does have an immunocompromised system, so we want to make sure their nutrition is optimized. We want to make sure that there isn't that post-nasal drip that can lead to the cough. It depends on how long that cough is happening. Again, a diabetic patient has a compromised immune system, so they're at risk for coughs and flus. So make sure, if it is they add these risks, that they also get the H1N1 vaccine, the flu shot. Hope that answers the question.
Right, and our final question. Good day, Doc. What causes regular pain at the ball of the foot?
That is multiple in causes. It may be the ergonomics or the orthotics, as in what footwear you're having on. Standing poorly, poor posture, all of those things can cause that pain. It may be something called a calcaneal spur as well. Keep in mind, it is all treatable. So please check, get checked by a healthcare professional. Most of the times, it may be something that, like we mentioned, the calcaneal spur, we can treat that directly. Hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, let's see if we could squeeze in one more, probably 627-3223, 625-2257. Once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangeet 106.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Let me see if any later WhatsApps came in here. No, that seems to be it for today, Doc.
So again, we want to just bring forward that this month is June, Men's Health Month. There's certain screening that must happen at different stages. Once you're hitting that the ages 30, 40, keep in mind now is a good time to get that executive medical. Get your heart checked out, do an ECG, get your cholesterol checked. Know your numbers. When we talk about knowing your numbers, know your blood pressure, know your glucose value, know your cholesterol value. These three things can save your life. As you grow older, you may want to get a PSA done, the prostatic screening antigen. You want to make sure as well, if there's any family history of cancers, we screen for that as well. Screening investigations can save your life. This month is not only the month to check for men's health. We also want to ensure that we're maintaining a proactive, healthy lifestyle. I think this entire week is also designated Nutrition Awareness Week. Our Ministry of Health is doing a fair amount of work in ensuring one eats well. So if you change one habit today, try to eat something a little bit more nutritious.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Doc. Catch you tomorrow.
Most definitely. And a great thank you to all of our callers and listeners who tune in, who send in their calls, send in their messages, and of course, our entire TBC network that makes this entire program happen. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, base, and all of our callers, stay tuned, locked in.
All right, same to you. Once again, folks, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here, of course, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Catch you tomorrow with Dr. Sophia Mohammed, of course, 12 noon. Make sure and don't miss it. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.